Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Elder by S.G. Prince, narrated by Daniel Thomas May. 1. This was a bad idea. Venek adjusted his hood and tried to ignore the roil in his gut, the dread and irritation and hell. Evolve's streets were crowded, elves packed shoulder to shoulder. Barely enough room to breathe, certainly not enough room to draw a weapon and reeking gods he wanted to. But that would do Venek no good. Not here, not when he was supposed to be avoiding attention. His hood felt like a meager defense against this crowd of hundreds. All it would take was one elf getting curious, one elf looking too closely. If any of these elves discovered a human in their midst, not to mention this human, there would be trouble. And then he really would have to draw his weapon. Not much good it'll do you. There was a time when Venek could have fought his way out of Evolve alive. He'd done it once already. But that was before the southern elves had succeeded in overthrowing the queen and occupying this city. Venek caught glimpses of those elves, tall, cloaked, shadowed, in the windows above, the alleys, even out here in the open. It didn't matter that Venek could have escaped Evolve before. If the southerners noticed him now, he didn't stand a chance. So don't be noticed. Right. Even though he was broader than most elves, even though he moved like a human, smelled like a human, spoke like a human. His only hope was that the crowd would be too large, the elves too preoccupied to give him a second glance. Which they were. The city of Evolve was a layered maze. Its streets and buildings had been carved into the side of a mountain, and most walkways were tight and winding. The elves moved around him with a fluidity Venek would never possess, streaming through the streets like water through a channel, each distracted by their own tasks, their own problems. They didn't look at Venek. But he looked at them. He noted their pearly skin, their long limbs. He marked the weapons on all of them, swords and daggers mostly, the occasional crossbow. And their faces. Those high brows and angled cheekbones. Beautiful, yes, all elves were, but utterly blank. That was typical. Elves rarely allowed their emotions to show in their expressions. And yet, this wasn't to say their emotions were hidden. Dampened, yes, disguised, but still discernible if you knew what to look for. Venek did. He'd spent time around elves, more time than most humans, and so he'd grown accustomed to their subtleties. As Venek scanned the elves around him, he noticed their two flat mouths, their sideways glances. He saw the way their hands fluttered over their weapons and thought he could sense it just under the surface, something pulsing, brimming. Tension. That was the feeling that claimed this city. No guessing why. It wasn't every day that a new elven queen took the throne. Killed for the throne, you mean? Venek's stomach soured at the thought. He'd been there in the palace stateroom to witness Farah's betrayal, how she and Rafan allied with the southerners and plotted to overthrow the queen. How they'd spread the rumor of Queen Rishiana's ill ability to rule, her merciful removal. Had it only been 8 days since Farah had stabbed Rishiana on the stateroom floor? Since the southerners had infiltrated this supposedly hidden city and slaughtered legionnaires and most of the royal court? And Elena.
Conjurer on your left,
Dalrine's voice came in close at Venek's ear. Venek aimed a glance back at his elven companion, who pulled his hood up a little higher, then jerked his chin to the side.
Two in that window overhead.
You don't have to do that, Venek muttered.
Another in the alley.
I can spot them for myself.
And one more.
Dalrine.
Dalrine gave Venek a long look, half exasperated, half reproachful, then shrugged. The gesture was classically human. Wrong to see it on an elf, and dangerous should anyone notice. Dalrine seemed to realize his mistake.
He tugged again at the edges of his hood, glancing to their left and right to see if he'd been observed. He hadn't. Thank the gods.
What you can tell me,
Venick murmured as they moved off the main thoroughfare and into a crowded market,
is what you plan to do if we're stopped on the palace bridge.
We will not be stopped.
Really?
No.
But Dowrine's confidence was absurd. Venick had seen the royal palace, had spent the better part of a month locked behind its high stone walls. He'd seen its bridge, too, wide and ancient and black. That bridge was the only path in or out of the palace, unless you wanted to risk a swim across the bay far below, and elves didn't swim. Though the palace bridge hadn't been heavily guarded when Venick had seen it last, surely it would be now. Farah wasn't stupid. Her claim to the throne was new and therefore vulnerable. Bet she'd positioned a whole host of guards on that bridge to keep watch. Bet she'd positioned conjurers there, too, to protect their new queen.
So what then?
Venick asked, dodging a horse-drawn cart and moving under a display of colorful lanterns.
You think Farah's conjurers will just let us in?
No,
Dowrine's reply came easily.
But it will not matter. We are not going to the palace.
Venick halted so abruptly that Dowrine nearly collided into him. He spun around.
What do you mean we aren't going to the palace?
Lower your voice.
That's the whole reason we're here.
We are here to find Elena,
the elf countered,
in whatever way is least likely to get us killed. Perhaps you would like to battle conjurers to get across the bridge?
I never said.
Which fits, seeing as you like to bludgeon your way through every problem.
I do not bludgeon.
But I would like to accomplish this mission with some finesse.
Oh, for God's sake, Dowrine.
Venick's anger spiked. His hands clenched to fists. He was aware that they'd stopped in the center of the market, that this argument was likely to draw attention, but instead of dropping his voice and moving on, his volume only grew.
Where do you expect to find her, if not at the palace? We can't search the whole city.
We can, if that is what it takes.
You're not serious.
We owe it to her, Dowrine insisted. We both do.
Venick crossed his arms. He didn't owe Elena anything. He had half a mind to call it quits, and damn Dowrine anyway. Safer to stay put and let the elf risk his own neck. Better yet, safer to turn around and abandon this rescue mission altogether. They'd barely managed to escape Evolve the first time. Insane, the both of them, for coming back to this place without a real strategy other than to find Elena. In the days since the stateroom coup and the queen's death, only a handful of palace elves had managed to escape the city. Those elves, most of whom had witnessed Queen Rishiana's murder and now feared the consequences, had been hiding out in the foothills around Evolve for the last 8 days, trying to agree on a plan and generally fighting amongst themselves. Dowrine and Venick had been at the center of those fights. Dowrine believed that since Elena had not escaped with the rest of them, she must have been caught in the stateroom battle and was now being held prisoner in the city. Venick, who no longer trusted anything he once thought he knew about Elena, suggested that maybe she didn't want to escape. Maybe she had chosen to join her traitorous sister instead. Neither of them mentioned the third option. Venick's frustration gathered. It condensed, palpable, in the air between them. He'd made it clear that he didn't want to return to this city. Had spent the last handful of nights trying to convince Dowrine out of it, convince him that they had better things to worry about. The Southerners had succeeded in overthrowing Queen Rishiana and conquering Evolve. According to the rumors, those Southerners, under Farah's command and with the support of her soldiers, were swiftly spreading their power, taking the elf lands into their control one city at a time. And they wouldn't stop there. Once they had conquered the north, they would continue west, bringing war to the mainlands, Venick's home. If the northern resistance stood a chance, they needed to rally their allies, and they needed to do it quickly. But instead, here they were, risking their necks to chase a traitor.
You don't know that she is.
Venick drew his eyes skyward. It was true. He couldn't be sure Elena had betrayed them, and if he was being honest with himself, maybe he would admit that betrayal didn't make sense. Elena cared deeply for her country. She'd been a legionnaire, sworn to protect and defend it, and Elena and Farah, despite being sisters, had never been allies. Elena and her bondmate Rafan certainly hadn't. Wasn't it possible, then, that Elena truly had been captured in the fighting? Wasn't it possible that she was now being held prisoner here against her will? Maybe. Yet it was easier to think of Elena as the enemy, easier for Venik to justify his sudden, terrible repulsion of her. If Elena was a traitor to the North, Venik could think of how she had forgone her values and her oaths. He could focus on the ways she had wronged Daurin and the Legion. He could think of anything, how she had betrayed her country, how she had turned her back on her very self, anything other than how she had betrayed him and cast him out and wished him dead.
If she is being held prisoner, they would not keep her in the palace anyway, Daurin said now. She would be in the dungeons, which are in the city.
So that's where we're going? The dungeons?
No.
Infuriating. The elf was infuriating. Daurin, this is ridiculous.
I have a plan.
Then maybe it's time you share it. Venik's voice snapped through the market louder than he'd intended. He saw his error at once, and he should have known better, should have realized they'd been standing there too long, that they'd already gained the attention of nearby traders and shoppers. But Venik had been thoughtless. He'd been angry. There was a sudden bubble of silence, the flash of golden eyes turning their way. Venik grimaced, trying to undo the damage by ducking his head, but too late. More heads were turning now, eyes slimming as the crowd's attention jumped from Daurin to Venik, noticing the strange size of him, the strange way he moved. Not an elf. Not one of them. Human.
Well,
Daurin said dryly as two conjurers materialized into view.
That did not take very long.
The mood of the market quickly darkened. The citizens backed away from Venik and Daurin as the conjurers approached, the anonymity of the crowd shedding off them like water. More than ample room now to draw a weapon, with space enough to swing it.
Just like you wanted.
Huh. Teach him to be careful what he wished for. Venik moved to Daurin's side. His hand went to the green glass sword at his hip, readying for the draw, and never mind that they were woefully outmatched. Venik had battled conjurers before. He'd seen the way they used their power to bend the world around them, the tricks they employed to gain the upper hand. Unnatural tricks, like shadow weaving and storm summoning and blindness. Hell. If one of the approaching conjurers decided to blind Venik now, his sword wouldn't do a damn thing. So, to Daurin.
Think of a way to finesse us out of this, will you?
Oh, you are a funny one. Venik scanned the elves around them, the narrow streets, colorful merchant stalls on every side. Outnumbered, well and truly, with no easy escape.
It wasn't a joke.
No? Then listen. We use a diversion.
A diversion?
There is a brazier behind you.
Venik glanced. It was a bowl of fire contained within a metal grate, the kind merchants used to illuminate their wares and ward off the worst of the mountain chill. Venik could have laughed. Knocking it over would buy them a few seconds at best. It would backfire at worst. He imagined the city up in flames.
That's your plan?
On my count.
Gods, it really is.
One.
Venik shifted onto the balls of his feet. There were bodies on all sides, a bustling market gone still. Any of these elves could draw their weapons, but aside from the two conjurers quickly closing in, none of the citizens made any move to attack.
Two?
Venik wondered how many of these northern elves knew the truth about Farah's rise to power. How many opposed her new regime? Farah had built an army of southern soldiers and conjurers, then used a loophole in Evolve's protective magic to march that army into this city. Her execution had been swift, fierce.
Perfect.
Vennick could admit that it was perfect, could admit, too, that its perfection worried him. He wasn't even sure that humans, who were bred for war, could have pulled off such a takeover. Three! The conjurers descended at the same time Vennick kicked over the brazier, sending sparks and coals flying. And then he and Dowreen were off, bolting blindly through the market and back into the winding city streets. For one wild moment, Vennick thought it had worked, that their diversion had been enough to shake their pursuers. He thought, please, that they'd gotten lucky, that they might actually make it out of this alive. You won't. No, they wouldn't, because a moment later Vennick heard the distinct sounds of cloaks flapping in the wind behind them, the flap, flap, flap of leather-soled boots on the road. He risked a glance back and saw them then, two black-haired elves quickly gaining ground. Vennick put on a burst of speed. He followed Dalrine closely as the elf took a hard right, then another. Narrow streets gave way to even narrower alleys, sunless paths that looped up and around and back on themselves. Vennick quickly lost track of their location. High, he thought, and then lost, because he could no longer tell where they were headed. No landmarks, no clear view of the city, just tall buildings set into the rock and a network of back alleys and two conjurers following close behind. Until they weren't. Suddenly, inexplicably, the sounds of their pursuers vanished. Vennick threw another look behind him to discover the street was empty. The conjurers had disappeared. Vennick skidded to a halt. A trick. A trap. It had to be. He drew his sword. Dowreen stopped too. Put that away. Vennick ignored him. He scanned nearby windows and rooftops, then looked higher, up into a suspended web of footpaths and archways. They were in a quieter part of the city now, a neighborhood, Vennick realized, though the buildings here only vaguely resembled homes. They were cruder than the shops back near Evolve's center, more roughly carved as if they'd been molded with child's clay. I said put it away, Dowreen snapped. Do you want the whole street to see you? The conjurers. We lost them. But that didn't make sense. Those elves had been right on their heels. Vennick turned to tell Dowreen so, but paused when he realized Dowreen had moved into the doorway of one of the houses. The elf pushed inside without knocking. What? You asked where we were going, Dowreen said. He gestured into the home's dark entryway. Well, you have your answer. We are here.
2.
Vennick's attention wasn't where it should have been. It was back with the conjurers in the street. It was listening to the sound of their cloaks in the wind, the light patter of their feet on loose gravel. There one instant, and then just gone. Like they'd given up the chase. Like their robes had turned to wings and borne them away. Vennick's mind was absorbed by the puzzle of this. It was consumed, trapped between the why and how of it, which was why, when Dowreen led him into the mysterious house and pulled the door closed behind them, Vennick didn't notice the elf inside or the dagger in that elf's hand. At least, not until that dagger was set to Vennick's neck. Vennick froze. His eyes dropped to the blade, then slid up the arm of the elf who held it. Fine white hairs, corded muscle, blue veins. Fingers easy on the dagger's hilt, the wrist tilted just so, like this stranger knew exactly how to hold a weapon, and where to stick it. He's an elf, Vennick. What did you expect? Hell, an ally? A peaceable citizen? A little mercy from the gods, maybe, just this once? Trega, Dowreen's voice came from Vennick's left, coolly and without any urgency. Put the weapon down. The elf, Tregar, didn't take his eyes off Vennick.
What are you doing in my house?
Dowreen answered. We encountered a bit of trouble.
And you came here?
Do not make me ask again. Dowreen sounded impatient. Vennick might have cautioned him on the wisdom of goading an enemy, had he not been otherwise preoccupied. Put the weapon down. This time, to Vennick's surprise, Tregar listened.
He took a swift step back and lowered the dagger, folding his arms smoothly into the loose sleeves of his robes. Weapon sheathed and out of sight just like that, as if he hadn't been about to spill human blood, as if he hadn't looked eager to do it. Vennick mimicked the motion, stepping back, folding his arms. He glanced around the room, a darkly lit foyer simply furnished, one shuttered window, and wished he had a dagger to hide up his sleeve. Something he could draw quickly if this elf happened to change his mind. Or if the conjurers return, think of that. Tregar's eyes cut to Daurin.
That door was locked.
It is good to see you too.
You still have a key?
I kept one, for just such an occasion. Daurin was smiling. Now, are you going to offer us a drink? A place to sit? Come, Tregar, is this any way to greet an old friend?
Tregar was handsome, even by elven standards. He was taller than most elves, artistically built, with a long face and full mouth. Striking, certainly, but also different. Unlike many elves whose skin was pale, Tregar was deeply tanned. His hair, too, was unusual, shoulder length and wavy rather than sleek and straight. Yet his eyes were the same bright golden of all elves. And Vennick's neck twinged to remind him. He knew how to wield a weapon.
You should not be here,
Tregar said. Daurin's smile twisted.
I see your manners have not improved with age.
The Dark Queen has been looking for you.
Is that what they call Farah now, the Dark Queen?
It is not a joke.
I am not laughing.
Yet Daurin did not seem all that concerned either for someone who had just escaped two of the Queen's conjurers. He leaned a shoulder against the nearest wall, crossed his arms and ankles. It was an easy posture, relaxed, opposite how Vennick was standing, or how Tregar was, with guarded uncertainty.
Farah's conjurers spotted us. We need a place to stay until our trail runs cold, and we need information. I was hoping you could provide both.
Tregar appeared unmoved.
And what do I get in return for the trouble?
Is that how you want it to be between us? Favors exchanged for favors?
I want it to be like nothing between us.
Daurin shrugged, but there was something off about the movement, something stiff. It was only then that Vennick realized he'd been wrong. Daurin wasn't relaxed. He was troubled, and doing his best to hide it.
In that case, Daurin replied, do it to assist a worthy cause. You know who this is, don't you?
He jerked his chin in Vennick's direction. Tregar's voice went low.
Everyone knows who he is.
Then you must also know why Farah and her conjurers are after us.
I have heard rumors.
Good.
As if that settled things, Daurin pushed off the wall and disappeared down the hall. Into a kitchen, Vennick presumed, from the sudden sound of cabinets opening and closing. Tregar let him go, but made no move to follow, and Vennick, reluctant to turn his back on this new elf, didn't either. There was a tense moment of silence as they appraised each other.
You surprised me,
Tregar finally admitted. It wasn't an apology, but something close. Vennick relaxed, a little. He made the elvish hand motion for no harm, which earned him two lifted brows.
They said you spoke elvish. I was not sure whether to believe it. It is unusual for humans to speak our language.
For the first time, Tregar switched to elvish.
They say humans can lie in elvish.
No one can lie in elvish, Vennick replied in that same tongue. The words came easily and without pain, proof of their authenticity.
No, Tregar agreed, switching back to mainlander. I suppose not.
He looked down the hall where Daurin could still be heard rummaging.
He has always been cocky. I forgot that about him.
The comment, the familiarity of it, surprised Vennick.
And arrogant.
He drives me insane.
That makes two of us.
Tregar skimmed another look in Vennick's direction. His eyes still held that gilded keenness, but there was something else there now, too. Curiosity. Amusement. Without comment, they started down the hall together. Venik had never seen the inside of a northerner's home. He'd seen their city, certainly, and the queen's palace, and he supposed if he'd thought anything, the elves' homes would be like that. Grand, cold. But Tregar's home was neither grand nor cold. The shallow hallway gave way to a low-ceiling kitchen that reminded Venik vividly of Irek. There was a furnace burning brightly in one corner, a row of pans arranged in order of size, a pot of sweet-smelling stew simmering on the stovetop. The table was made of unpolished wood, its chairs heaped in warm furs. The whole scene was quaint. Cozy. "No tea," Dowrin announced as they entered. "But I see you still keep a supply of rezahe." He held up a tumbler filled with 2 finger-widths of golden brown liquid. "I took the liberty."
"Of course you did."
Dowrin motioned towards the kitchen window with that same hand, sloshing some of the tumbler's contents. "You have been redecorating. Those curtains are new." And drawn, Venik saw, though it was only midday.
"A precaution," Tregar replied.
"Against the sun?"
"Against the southerners."
Tregar sank into a seat at the table. He didn't slouch as a human might, didn't lean back in his chair. His movements were poised, precise. Still, he looked tired.
"It has been madness. Southern elves here, in Evolve. Our city has protected us from outsiders for 1,000 years, but now..."
He trailed off. Dowrin moved to claim the chair opposite him, Venik opting to lean against the wall. Tregar continued.
"Did you know that Farrar has ordered us to open our homes to her army? We are meant to house and clothe and feed them. The barracks simply cannot supply them all, but the southerners are barbarians."
Venik thought he understood. Unlike northern elves, southerners were a wild breed, brutal and prone to violence. Before Farrar united them under the red and black flag, they'd been living in isolated clans in the southern forests. No leader, no real rule of law. They'd been unruly before, and they would be now, no matter how their station had changed. Perhaps they would be worse now, given the fact that they were armed with the queen on their side. Some of Dowrin's false cheer leaked away.
"Have they been violent?"
"Only when they are not getting what they want."
"Have they hurt you?"
Tregar did not immediately answer that. In the way of someone who'd done it many times before, the elf angled his gaze to peer out the kitchen window, then blinked as if remembering that view was now blocked. He shook his head.
"No, they have not hurt me. But things here are not as they once were. The city is not safe, not with southerners prowling every street corner, hunting Farrar's opposers and looking for fights."
Tregar pointed his gaze at Venik, clear-eyed and solemn.
"You tried to warn us."
Hell yes, he'd tried. Venik had been the first one to discover the southern army and had raced here to alert the northerners. But they hadn't believed him.
Little good it did.
"We were fools,"
Tregar said bluntly.
"And now Queen Rishianna is dead."
"Murdered," Dowrin corrected, "by her own daughter."
"So those rumors are true, too. I cannot say I'm surprised. Farrar marched an army of southern soldiers into this city. We all know what she really is. What I want to know now is why you are here."
Dowrin studied the glass in his hand. For all his earlier bravado, he seemed suddenly hesitant.
"We came for Elena."
"The princess?"
Dowrin glanced up.
"Is she alive?"
"Oh, she lives."
Venik sank back against the wall. The news dropped deep. He'd never truly allowed himself to consider this possibility, to think that Elena might be dead. Now that he knew she wasn't, he felt odd, strangely lightheaded.
"Just to say it, Venik, relieved."
Dowrin looked relieved, too. He deflated, thumping back in his chair. His eyes crossed the room, and Venik read the thoughts behind them.
"I told you. See? She is here. She needs us."
Dowrin asked, "Where are they holding her?" Tregar gave Dalrine a strange look.
Holding her?
As a prisoner, is she in the dungeons or in the palace?
Neither.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?